So now we come to chapter 5. Chapter 5, we are going to cover material requirement planning. So let's look at what is material requirement planning. What we are going to cover in the agenda is the what exactly is material requirement planning, nature of demand, what are the inputs which go into the MRP, what are the MRP processes, what is the MRP output, and finally we summarize. So material requirement planning, organizations need to control the type and quantity of the material they purchase, plan which products they are to be produced, and what are the quantities that needs to be ensured to be able to meet the current and future customer demands. In short, material requirement planning is planning the material which is required to meet the customer demand as per the forecast. So making a bad decision will really, you know, result into either excess inventory or you will have stock out. In either case, it will result in loss of business, either because you have a shortage of the material or you may land up with the excess inventory. So MRP is very important from this point of view to ensure, you know, maximizing of the business. MRP is a planning process which provides answers to the following questions. So what items are required? Actually, this is which are the items required? How many are required? Which means the quantity. The quantity can be in the numbers, it can be in kg, can be in liters, whatever. So what is the volume which is required? And the time factor, when they are required. MRP can be applied both to items that are purchased from outside, the outside suppliers, and to sub-assemblies produced internally that are components or more complex items. What does it mean? You can apply the MRP to products which you are outsourcing, you know, which you don't have to process. So you can apply MRP to that or to the items which basically are raw materials or components which are going to be assembled or manufactured in the manufacturing unit or in your production. So MRP calculates and maintains an optimum manufacturing plan based on the master production schedule, the sales forecast, inventory status, open orders, and bill of material. One small correction here. So MRP calculates and maintains the optimum inventories, which is based on all the other things that we saw, which is master production schedule, sales forecast, inventory status, and the open orders, bill of material. It will look at what is the demand for the finished product. Based on the bill of material, it will look at what is the inputs, the raw materials or the components which are required. It will also check what are the material available in stock or already on order, which means, you know, that you are going to receive this material within the planning horizon. And then based on that, it decides how much more material has to be brought in. If properly implemented, it will reduce cash flow and increase profitability. MRP will provide you with the ability to be proactive rather than reactive in the management of your inventory levels and material flow. So very simple, if your MRP is correctly defined, then you will order only that material which is required. Maybe you may have a policy to keep certain safety stock, but you will always ensure that you are bringing in only material which you're going to be using in the production immediately. And it will result in you not carrying excess inventory, which means that your cash flow, your working capital will not be locked up in inventory, which is non-moving. And this will directly impact your profitability. MRP is a planning process by which production planning and inventory control systems used to manage the manufacturing process. So MRP is a key, because if the materials are not available, then whatever be your production plan, whatever be your master production schedule, you will not be able to deliver the material if the products or the raw materials or the components are not available at the right time. The tools used for this can be either ERP system or Excel sheet. Before the ERP came in, these were being managed through, you know, the spreadsheets. So in the olden times, there was no Excel, there was Lotus 1-2-3, but that's how, you know, we used to do the planning. Sometimes the worksheets used to get very, very complicated because, you know, when you have large number of items, then they are actually resulting in a very large Excel sheet. Today with the MRP, this activity has become very, very simple. So currently, I think most of the organizations, they use the ERP system for the MRP purpose. And MRP process needs to simultaneously meet the three objectives. And what are those objectives? Ensure materials and products are available for production and delivery to the customer. So ultimate objective of the MRP is that the finished product is available for fulfilling the customer orders at the designated time. So whatever is the time period which has been fixed as per the master production schedule, the products will be able to adhere to those schedules. Okay. And how do you do that? By bringing the raw material or the components on time. Maintain the lowest possible level of inventory. So why we say lowest possible level? Because we not only require the inventory which is required for the production, but in some cases we are carrying certain safety stock, or we call it as also minimum stock levels, to take care of any variation. Because you are working partly on firm orders that you have on the system, and partly you are working with forecast. Now it can happen that there is a variation in the demand, and if the demand goes up, so to take care of these variances, you are always keeping some overage. But how much overage or how much excess inventory you are keeping to take care of these variations, these need to be controlled. So ultimately, you try and work with the minimum level of inventory. Plan manufacturing activities, delivery schedules, and purchasing activities. So you have to plan the manufacturing activities, and you have to bring the material basically in line with the manufacturing plan, so that your delivery schedules and everything is maintained. And for that, the delivery or the receipt of the raw material or components is very, very important. MRP helps organizations to maintain low inventory levels. It is used to plan manufacturing, purchasing, and delivering activities, which is what we saw. And we saw how it helps you to maintain low inventory by very accurately telling you what are the materials which are required. So what are the basic functions of MRP? One is inventory control, bill of material processing, and elementary scheduling. So determining the requirements, maintaining low inventory levels, keeping up to date and valid schedules. Up to date and valid schedules, determining the requirement, we all understood that based on the requirement of the finished product, you are looking at the bill of material, from where you actually get to know what is the quantity required. Then you look at your inventory, what stocks you are holding on hand, and what orders are there already in the system, where you are going to get the raw materials into the system. And based on that, you are working out. But the time factor is very, very important, because you have to also keep up the schedules. Many a times it so happens that the material is going to be delayed. So this information has to be available to all the planners and the production people, because it may so happen that you may have to reschedule the manufacturing activity if the material is going to be delayed or so, for whatever reason. So three basic steps to MRP: identifying the quantity requirement. So determine what quantity is on hand. In an open purchase order, planned for manufacturing, already committed to existing orders, and forecasted. So basically, we have the inventory on hand for the finished product. We also may have a manufacturing plan, or there is something in work in process. So you are actually netting off when you are arriving at the master production schedule. Now, based on the master production schedule, you are again finding out what is the raw material you're going to require, and you repeat the same process here. So you basically look at do you have the raw material or the components in your stocks or not? And mind you, it's not just what is there in the stocks, because you may have placed certain purchase orders based on your time frame for planning, and these materials are already scheduled for supply. So you have to consider also what has been already ordered and committed. And in an ERP system, it will tell you how much of the inventory which you are holding is already committed to a certain production batch. So these are considered, and only the unmet demand, you know, or the unmet requirement is to be ordered. Plus, of course, if you have any safety stocks, etc. So that is the quantity which has to be ordered. Running the MRP calculations. So create suggestions for material that you consider critical, expedited, delayed. And this is what we were talking about, that you are first creating the suggestions. What is the kind of material, or what is the volume of material, or when you're going to require? And it doesn't stop here. You are also looking at whether material needs to be expedited or it's to be delayed. So to give an example, typically the MRP system in an ERP runs in the night, you know, and it will relook all your material requirement planning. Now what happens is that suddenly you have received some orders which were not forecasted, and you have consumed significant part of your finished product, let's say inventory, or even you have consumed your raw material and component stock. Now you already have orders in the system. Let us say that we are on the first of the month, and you have already got a purchase order which says that material is supposed to come on the 10th of the month, but you already have a production planned, let's say on the 15th of the month or the 12th of the month. Now that you have your inventory has depleted, you are under risk of a stock out, and you want to bring the material in faster. So you may want to advance your manufacturing plan for this particular material. So the MRP, or rather ERP, will tell you that you need to advance your manufacturing for this particular finished product. While it does that, the MRP will also tell you that this material which you have called for by the 10th of the month needs to be advanced to maybe the 5th of the month or the 4th of the month. So where possible, the procurement department will try and advance the arrival of the material, the receipt of the material. So the MRP calculations will also tell you, likewise, if there is a slower sale of this particular material. So you had forecasted that you will be selling, let's say it's a chemical, you'll be selling 10 ton of this chemical. You're already on the 20th of the month. You have scheduled some material to arrive by the 25th of the month, but you have not sold more than 2 to 3 tons of material, right? The system will then tell you that if you go ahead with your manufacturing plan, you will end up with excess inventory because you don't have firm orders in the system. All that you have in the system is the forecast, in which case it will ask you to defer your manufacturing plan. It gives you a suggestion that you can defer this manufacturing, and simultaneously it will also tell you that the raw material can be deferred, so you can delay the arrival of the raw material. So, and this is a very, very critical function of the MRP, where it helps the organization to maintain low inventory levels based on your actual orders and the forecast which is available in the system at that particular point of time. The third point is the complete the orders, delineate the material for the manufacturing orders, purchase orders, and other reporting purpose. Okay. So here we have a product tree. The product tree is about a table. So you are making a table, and these are the components which are required to actually assemble the table. And what are they? So you have four legs, so one table, and you have four legs. There are two ends, there are two sides. It's a rectangular table, so the length and the width. So the width will require the ends, and the length will require the sides, which is the support below the top. Top is the surface, the top surface of the table, and then you require a hardware kit. So you require certain nut bolts or screw, etc. That is what is required. Now, the table here is an independent item. It's a finished product which sells on its own. So this is an independent demand or an independent requirement. And these are actually the dependent requirement. That means every time somebody orders a table, you require these components to actually assemble the table. So this is the product tree that shows the relationship between the independent and the dependent demand items. The figures in parentheses shows the required quantities for each component. Okay, so here you see four legs, two ends, two sides, likewise. Basically, this is nothing but the bill of material. So if you are manufacturing tables, then this would form your bill of material. So there are basically two types of demand. One is the independent demand that we saw, which is, you know, when you talk of the table, that's the independent demand. And let's see what is the definition of a independent demand. So this demand is not based on the demand for any other product, assemblies or component. So somebody can order a table independently, and the requirement of number of tables or tables is not dependent on any other item being ordered. All end items have an independent demand, and the demand must be forecasted. That means the forecast also, what you get from marketing or from distribution or from sales, will be X number of tables. So maybe they will tell you, if there are 10 varieties of table, they will give you each table wise what is the forecast. And they'll say this type A table, we require 100 pieces, type B, we require 500, type C, we require 1000. So this will be your forecast, and that will be the forecast of the independent items. Independent demand is not related to the demand for any other product. For example, if a company makes a wooden table, the demand for the tables is independent, what we have already explained. Master production schedule items are independent demand items. So, very important, master production schedule never talks about components. It always talks about the finished product. So they will talk only about the tables. They will not talk about the legs or the sides or the ends. And if you are, let us say, a unit which is supplying a sub-assembly, like, for example, we took the automobile example of an engine or a transmission. For that particular unit, the master production schedule will treat that assembly as a finished product. So yes, in that particular unit, they will talk of so many number of engines required or so many number of transmissions which are required. Okay. So the definition of a component can vary depend upon which unit you are talking about. So for one unit, it may be a finished product. For the other unit, it could be a component. Okay. Dependent demand. So now we come to the legs and the sides and the ends. So this demand always depends on the demand for the higher level assemblies or end products, and hence the demand must be calculated. So we are now talking of the components which go into the final assembly or the final product. Material requirement planning deals with the components of the end items, and hence always calculates the component requirements based on the demand for the end item. So MRP basically calculates the requirement of the dependent demand or the dependent items or dependent raw material or dependent components. So since dependent demand is directly related to the demand for higher level assemblies of products, it can be calculated. So very simple. If somebody says that 100 number of type A tables are to be ordered, simple you know that you require 400 legs and 200 sides, 200 ends, and you require 100 tops, and you require 100 hardware kits, you know, for assembling of the table. So basically, this is how the dependent demand is calculated. So MRP uses the following elements to plan the optimal inventory level. We already talked about the master production schedule, because master production schedule actually tells you what you're going to produce. It nets off from the demand plan whatever is available in your stock, right? So it tells you what fresh you're going to produce. So this is one of the basic inputs. The second is the inventory records of what you already have in your stock. So there's no point in looking at the master production schedule and ordering so many number of legs or so many sides simply based on the production schedule. You also need to look at what you have on hand, take that into consideration, and then order what is the shortfall. The planning factor, will be basically the horizon for which you are planning. So we talked yesterday about demand plan, which can be, in some units can be 3 months, can be 6 months, can be 12 months, 24 months, okay? So planning factors also will take into account what is the horizon for which you're going to plan your materials or MRP. The last is the bill of material. Now, it's very simple when you're talking of tables, or a car, because if you are going to assemble a car, then you require one engine, one transmission. You may require two seats, or even, there may be cases where the driver's seat and the passenger seats are different. So as far as the bucket seat is concerned, the rear seats are different. So they form different component in the bill of material. But when you come to, let's say, chemical industry, okay, and many other industries like this, so you require to make one batch, let's say there is a batch size of 10 tons for a particular product. You may require various chemicals, and there many a times there is a yield factor. So ideally speaking, if you chemically calculate, it may tell you that you require the product A, B, C, so many quantities. But experience will tell you that there are certain losses in the system. So for example, you make a batch and you pack the batch, you drain the batch and you pack it into drums or whatever mode of packing that you have. Now, there will be some material which is, left behind in the vessel, which is sticking to the sides or in the pipelines, etc. So there'll be certain losses. Also, there can be some variation of the yield. So there, we always consider certain factors. So theoretically, let's say for a 10-ton batch, raw material A is required 2 tons. But our experience shows that we generally consume not 2 tons, but 2.2 tons, okay? So this will be factored in the bill of material. So whenever you are planning a batch of 10 tons, the raw material A will be planned for 2.2 tons and not 2 tons. So bill of material is also built based on your experience of what is the yield. There are many other processes where as you process the material, there are losses along the line. For example, when I have worked in a packaging industry, so you are using aluminum foil. Now you are rolling aluminum sheet, which is something like 200 micron thick, down to 7 micron. And then you have to roll, you have to pass the sheet through metal rollers number of times. And every time you do that, you are generating certain scrap. So the yield at the end will be something like 80%. So you put in 1 ton of material, and at the end, when you have the finished foil, you will have only about 800 kg as a finished output. Further, if you're going to do the lamination, printing, etc., there are going to be further losses. So these have to be factored into the bill of material. Master production schedule. So these are the inputs to the MRP, which we are going to look at in more detail. The master production schedule determines the requirement of each end item by quantities and by date. We already know this. this data becomes the primary input for the MRP. So this is the basis on which MRP is going to be planned. So to determine the component requirement of each individual end item to meet the master production schedule. Second is the inventory records. So we said we also need to see what components are there in our inventory or which are already on order. That means, you know, you don't have to order these material because these are going to be received by you. So a major input to the MRP system is the inventory. When a calculation is made to find out how many are needed, sales order quantities, due dates, the quantities available, that is quantity on hand in your inventory, must be considered. The planning factor, the planning factors provide the information regarding the planning horizon of the MRP, the length of time buckets and the replanning frequency of the MRP. So like in the example that I gave you, our planning horizon is 12 months and the frequency is daily. That means the MRP is run daily. So suddenly if today there is a big order which has been received, maybe the next day morning when you look at the MRP, it will tell you that you need to advance the arrival of your next batch of raw materials, or in some cases it may be asking you to defer it. So now we come to a bill of material. Bill of material forms the most important input to the MRP, and understandably, because this is a very, very simple example that we saw of the table. But let me tell you, I mean, if you're assembling a car, a simple assembly line of a car, it can be very, very daunting task. The number of components which go into a simple assembly of a car run into hundreds or thousands of items. Simple thing, like we talked about the engine, we talked about the transmission, we talked about the seat, whether you want a fabric seat, or you want a leather seat, or it's an artificial leather, or you want alloy wheels, or you want the conventional, pressed wheels, So there are so many variations between the model, and you will have to accurately, based on the model, based on the variant which is being produced, the bill of material will have to be drawn up. So you can look at the complexity, okay? So the BOM becomes the basis for MRP to determine the quantity requirement for each component and to time phase this requirement based on their lead time. We have discussed this in the earlier thing, that if you have a lead time, let's say of 60 days, you will have to place the order for this material 60 days in advance. And let me tell you, the ERP system will actually help you decide on this. So there are two things you can do. Let us say that you have an urgent requirement. Now you may have two vendors. One vendor who is located overseas and has a lead time of, let's say, 60 days. Another vendor is located locally and has a lead time of 15 days. Then you have the option of ordering the material on the local vendor. And ERP system, based on the requirement and, based on the parameters which are defined in your system. So in, let's say, the material master, you have said that this material requires a minimum lead time of, let's say, 60 days. It will remind you that you need to release the purchase requisition for this. That means you need to give the purchase requisition to the procurement team so that they can place the order for the material to arrive on time. Okay. A bill of material is a listing of all the sub-assemblies, intermediate parts and raw materials that go into making the present assemblies, showing the quantities of each required to make an assembly. We have clearly seen this, how this is done with the table example, even with the automobile example. So even in an automobile, it will give you a very detailed list of the materials which are required. In the quantities they are required, for example, you have certain kind of nut bolts or fasteners, then it will accurately predict how many of these will be required. So bill of material for the table. We've already seen this, right?